If you please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be in verses 14 through 17, and that is on page 962 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Our message series is called 10 Miracles of Jesus, and today we come to the third miracle in the series. Now, we said earlier as we began this series that these first three miracles are all healing miracles, and that they are all healings of unlikely people. In these first three miracles, Jesus heals first a leper, and then a Gentile, and then a woman. You might say, well, what's so unlikely about that? Well, in that time, in that society, all three of these types of people were outsiders. These were people who were on the margins of society. These were people who were excluded from full participation in the life and worship of the community. And yet Jesus reaches out to all three, and he meets them at their point of need. So today we come to the third outsider in the series. This is Peter's mother-in-law. So in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, will you please stand with me together for the reading of God's word. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at these verses, as we look at this incident in the life of our Lord Jesus, dear God, we pray that you would speak your word into our hearts today. Lord, help us to be attentive to your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help our hearts to be receptive to what you would say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When sin entered this world, it brought a whole host of consequences with it. Sickness, sadness, suffering, death, these are all what we call the consequences of sin. Now, we know that Jesus came to take away our sins. But the question that's before us this morning is, what about the consequences for our sins? Did Jesus come to take those away too? And the good news of the Bible is, yes, Jesus came both to free us from our sins and then also to free us from the consequences of our sins. Today we're going to look at one particular consequence of sin that affects this world in so many terrible ways, and that is the consequence of sickness and diseases. Matthew 8:17, we just read it, says that Jesus took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases. So we want to look at that this morning. What exactly does that mean? And how does that work in our lives today? Now, the context for this verse begins back in verse 14. Those are the verses that we read this morning. So we're going to look at verses 14 through 17. We're going to do that in three sections this morning. There's an outline in your bulletin that has these three sections, if you'd like to take that out and follow along or take notes as we go along. We're going to look at it in three sections. First of all, where Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Then where Jesus heals many. And then finally, where Jesus heals in fulfillment of prophecy. So we want to look at these verses together now and seek to understand biblically what does it mean for Jesus to carry our diseases. So let's begin now with Peter's mother-in-law. Look at verses 14 and 15 with me. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. Now, this is just another one of the amazing miracles of Jesus, right? Peter's mother-in-law is there. She's lying down. She's in bed. She's suffering from a fever. But as soon as Jesus touches her hand, the fever completely leaves her. She is immediately restored to full strength. There are no remnants of her fever or any weakness left. She immediately gets up and she begins to wait on Jesus. Now, this particular healing story is highlighted right before Jesus, right before Matthew tells us about Jesus healing the multitudes. You might wonder at first as you read through this, I mean, Jesus is going to heal a lot of people, right? And you might wonder, well, why in the world is this even included here in this section? Surely Jesus healing all the people who come to him later in the day and the evening, surely that is far more impressive than Jesus simply healing one person with a fever, right? But that is exactly the point here. Yes, Jesus had compassion for the crowds who were so lost, who were so desperately in need of his shepherd. Jesus had compassion on the crowds, but Jesus never lost sight of the individual. And Jesus' healing of Peter's mother-in-law here reminds that Jesus cares for the individual and the outsider. Now, this was a very important story to the gospel writers. It is one of the very few stories that is shared by both Matthew and Mark and Luke, by all three of them in their gospels. We read the passage, and we tend to minimize it when we think about fever. We see fever, and we think headache, right? You know, I got a headache, what do? I take a Tylenol, and I go to bed. I'm just fine. But fever often meant a very serious illness in those days. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us that it was a high fever, and even today we know that a high fever can be dangerous. And so as usual, the different Gospel writers, they emphasize different parts of what happened that day. For example, Luke tells us that Jesus rebuked the fever, and so we know that was part of what Jesus did. Matthew chooses to emphasize a different detail. He emphasizes Jesus' physical touch, that Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her. And it is a beautiful detail, but it also ties in with Matthew's larger themes here. First of all, Jesus' physical touch here prepares us for verse 17, which is coming up, which talks about what? Jesus carrying our diseases. How do you carry things? You carry them what? With your hands, right? If you're going to pick something up and carry it, you need to use your hands. And so Matthew focuses on Jesus touching Peter's mother-in-law here, touching her with his hands. It also ties in with Matthew's focus on Jesus caring for the outsider. Remember, these first three healing miracles are directed towards what? A leper, a Gentile, and a woman. All three who were considered outsiders in Israel's society. Now, unlike the Gentile servant whom Jesus healed in our passage last week, Peter's mother-in-law, she's Jewish. We saw last week that the healing of the Gentile servant, that taught us something. There was a spiritual lesson there that the gospel would go out to the Gentiles and that many Jews who do not believe would be left out of the kingdom. Well, that was a pretty harsh message. Today's passage reminds us that Jesus still came for the Jews as well, right? He is the Jewish Messiah who came for his people to save both Jew and Gentile alike, to bring the two together and to make us one in his kingdom. But even though Peter's mother-in-law was Jewish, guess what? Still a woman, right? And it was taboo in that society for a Jewish man to even touch a woman's hand, to take her by the hand. What does Jesus do? Jesus keeps on breaking down these walls, doesn't he? He keeps on breaking down these walls that kept people on the outside, that kept people out of the kingdom. Jesus cares for the individual and for the outsider. This miracle also teaches us that Jesus saves so that we may serve. Remember, all of the healing miracles have spiritual lessons as well. Matthew tells us that it was after Jesus touched her hand and after the fever left her, that she got up and began to wait on him. Once again, the order, the sequence is important. She did not serve Christ first, and then Jesus healed her, right? Jesus healed her first, and then she served him. And it's the exact same way with our salvation. Now, last week, we looked at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, as we were talking about the fact that we are saved by faith alone. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not by works, so that no one can boast." See, saved by faith alone. But we didn't go on to verse 10. Today we're going to go on to verse 10, which teaches us an equally important truth. Yes, we are saved by faith alone, but Jesus saves so that we may serve. Verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're saved by faith alone, not by works, but then we are saved in order that we may do good works. And those are good works that God has already prepared for us to do. Jesus saves so that we may serve. By the way, this part of the healing miracle here also went against the rabbi's taboos. The rabbis forbade women from serving men, lest they, and I'll quote here, become accustomed to being around men. Well, wouldn't that be a terrible thing, right? So this was also breaking some of the taboos. And so this is a very meaningful miracle that is recorded for us by Matthew here. It may seem like a small miracle, but it teaches us these two very important truths. Jesus cares for the individual and the outsider, and Jesus saves so that we may serve. Also, I want us to see what it led to. Because as word got out about what Jesus was doing, what do we see in the very next verse now? We'll go into our next section. We go from Jesus healing the individual to Jesus healing many. Look at verse 16 with me now. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. And he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. Now, this verse also teaches us some very important truths. First of all, it teaches us that Jesus is unlimited in his healing power. Notice the unlimited nature of Jesus' authority here. He drives out the spirits, doesn't do some fancy ceremony and all this, you know, to make that happen. What does he do? He drives out the spirits with just a word. Speaks the word, they're gone. And he doesn't just heal some who are sick. He heals all who are sick. There are no limits to Jesus' healing powers. He can heal one. He can heal many. He can heal all. He can heal insiders and outsiders. And he can heal all types of illness. Doesn't matter what you throw at him, Jesus can handle it all. In other words, there is no such thing as too hard a case for Jesus. He drove out the spirits with a word. He healed all the sick. Jesus is unlimited in his healing power. Now, the other truth we learn from this verse is that there is a difference between illness and evil spirits. Do you notice how Matthew distinguishes that? He distinguishes those who are ill from those who are demon-possessed. He distinguishes physical suffering in the body from spiritual suffering within. There's a difference between illness and evil spirits. Now, we know from other scriptures and also from experience that sometimes when a person is possessed by a demon, that can present itself as an illness. We find that in scripture. But we should not make the mistake of thinking that all illness is demonic in nature. I had a bad cold once during a prayer meeting, and while we were praying, someone came up and put their hands on me and started casting out the demon behind the cold. Now, I appreciated the prayer, and I appreciated the concern, but folks, sometimes a cold is just a cold. Sometimes a fever is just a fever. We shouldn't be looking for demons under every bush and approach every illness as demonic in origin. Jesus drove out the spirits with the word, and Jesus healed all the sick. So there's a difference between illness and evil spirits. Jesus is unlimited in his healing power. There's a difference between illness and evil spirits. Okay, we've looked at the first two sections. You're saying, well, that didn't take too long at all. That's because we're going to spend more time in this last section now. We've looked at Peter's mother-in-law. We've looked at Jesus healing many. Now let's look at Jesus healing in fulfillment of prophecy. We're at verse 17 now, where Matthew writes, and he's referring to what just happened in these previous verses. He says, this, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the driving out of the demons, the healing all who were sick, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. This is a very important verse about healing in the Bible. It's also a verse that is often misunderstood. And so that's why we're going to take the rest of this message now to just focus on this verse in particular. We especially want to understand, what does the Bible mean when it says that Jesus carries our diseases And even more importantly, we want to understand what it does not mean when it says that. First of all, what does it mean when it says Jesus carries our diseases? It means that healing is a sign of God's kingdom. When we go back into the Old Testament prophecies looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. When the Messiah came, what was he going to do? He was going to bring the kingdom of God. And one of the signs of the kingdom would be miraculous healings. And so it should come as no surprise at all to us that when Jesus came as Messiah in fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, that he would come healing people. In fact, that's exactly what Matthew said about Jesus' ministry when he summed it all up for us back in Matthew 4:23. Matthew says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus is king. And so when Jesus came, when the king comes, guess what comes with him? Kingdom comes right with him. And so Jesus is out there, he's preaching the good news of the kingdom, and then he demonstrated the truth and reality of that kingdom by healing every disease and sickness among the people. Healing is a sign of God's kingdom. Now, Jesus' healing ministry was specifically prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. And Matthew quotes a portion of Isaiah 53 here in Matthew 8. What I want us to do now is I want us to go back to Isaiah 53, and I want us to look at a longer portion of that prophecy. Because when the biblical writers quote from a prophecy in the Old Testament, they'll sometimes just quote a small portion, but the whole portion is in mind. So we're going to look at Isaiah 53 now, verses 4 to 6, and this will give us a better understanding of the context for Matthew's quote here. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, when the people of Israel first received this prophecy from Isaiah, they did not know who this individual was. They had a name for him. They just called him the suffering servant. But the rest of the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus is the suffering servant who was prophesied back in Isaiah 53. Now, in that context, as we read through Isaiah 53, we see that Jesus came specifically to take away our sins. The whole focus in Isaiah 53 is the removal of sin by the suffering servant. But by extension, he also takes away those things which accompanied sin. In other words, the consequences of our sins, we've named them already. Sickness, sadness, suffering, and death. So when Matthew quotes this passage and says that Jesus took up our infirmities and that he carried our diseases, it's very important to understand he's not saying that Jesus healed people by taking their sicknesses on himself. In other words, Jesus didn't heal people by saying, here, you're sick, I'll take your sickness, and I'll be sick instead of you. In other words, Jesus did not heal the leper by becoming a leper. Jesus did not heal Peter's mother-in-law from a fever by getting a fever himself. Rather, the fuller context, when we look at Isaiah 53, it teaches us that Jesus' healing ministry that Matthew refers to here, it looks forward to the cross. And the healing miracles, as we've seen, they are a sign of the kingdom. And the reason Jesus healed people is because he was going to the cross to take away our sins and eventually to remove all of the consequences for sin. But it is important to note that at the cross, what Jesus does is he substitutes himself for our sins, not for our sicknesses. He takes our sin upon himself, but he does not become sick in our place. There is a difference between sickness and sin. There's a difference between healing and forgiveness. Now, the main difference here is that sickness is a result of sin. Sickness is not sinful in and of itself. All sickness, all suffering in this world is caused either directly or indirectly by sin. Now, we have to be careful there. It does not mean that a particular sickness is necessarily the result of a specific person's sin. Rather, it is the result of sin in the world in general. Best way to put it, there's sickness in our world. Why? Because there is sin in the world. But sickness and sin are still two different things, and they are treated very differently in the Bible. For example, there is no guilt in the Bible ever attached to being sick. We're never told that we need to confess our illnesses to God. Only our sins we confess. Just as there is a difference between illness and evil spirits, so there is also a difference between sickness and sin, between healing and forgiveness. Now, one of the reasons we're going to spend some time on this is because, unfortunately, there's a lot of misunderstanding around these verses. Some well-meaning Bible teachers will sometimes take these verses and they will minimize the differences between sickness and sin in their teaching. These teachers are usually part of what we call the faith healing movement, or sometimes prosperity theology. Now, before you get too wondering about that, I believe in miraculous healing by faith. We're going to get to that, okay? Yes, Jesus heals miraculously by faith. So when we say faith healing, we're not saying that Jesus does not do that. But I believe in miraculous healing by faith, but not necessarily in the way that is presented sometimes in this movement and by certain teachers. Let me give you an example, okay, from a prominent teacher in the faith healing movement, which I believe is very representative of the teaching within this movement. Here's the quote. Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. What are we doing here? We're talking about Matthew 8:17. This is the exact verse that this teacher is talking about. Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases at the same time, we'll talk about that in a minute, and in the same manner that he bore your sins. You are just as free from sickness and disease as you are free from sin. And you should be as quick to cease sickness and disease in your body as you are to cease sin. Okay, that's a very representative teaching of the faith healing movement. But that's not what the Bible says, and it's not what it says here in verse 17. Jesus did not bear your sicknesses and carry your diseases at the same time and in the same manner that he bore your sins. And you are not just as free from sickness and disease as you are free from sin. So let me summarize the Bible's teaching about this for you in three brief statements. If you get these statements, I think you'll understand it all. First of all, the Bible teaches that Jesus bore our sins on the cross, not our sicknesses. Jesus bore our sins on the cross, not our sicknesses. For example, we read in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So here we have a verse which speaks about the cross. It speaks about healing, but we need to be careful to see what it specifically says and what it does not say. It says that Jesus bore our sins on the cross. It does not say that he bore our sicknesses. The word that Peter uses for Jesus bearing our sins in this verse, it's a word that means to carry up or to offer up as in a sacrifice. That's what Jesus did for our sins. He offered up as a body as a sacrifice for our sins. But you go back to Matthew 8:17, Matthew uses a different word there for bearing our sicknesses. And the word that Matthew uses, a word that simply means to carry a heavy load or a burden. It's a beautiful word in its context. In its context, when it says that he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. It's almost as if when we're ill, when we're sick, or when we're feeling weak in any ways, like Jesus comes alongside of us and he says, here, that's too heavy. Let me carry that for you. And so, yes, Jesus carries our diseases, but not in the same way that he bears our sins for us at the cross. Jesus did not bear our sicknesses on the cross so that we could be healed. Jesus bore our sins on the cross so that we could be forgiven. Here's another way you can look at it. Jesus died for our sins directly. He only died for sickness indirectly. Once we're forgiven for our sins, then Jesus can begin to free us from the consequences of those sins. And once again, those consequences include sickness, sadness, suffering, and death. But freedom from sickness, sadness, suffering, and death, that doesn't happen all at once. Jesus bearing our sins on the cross does not mean that Christians won't get sick any more than it means that Christians will never suffer or get tired or die. Notice when Jesus fulfilled this prophecy about carrying our diseases. It was not at the same time that he bore our sins on the cross. Jesus fulfilled this prophecy, according to Matthew, not at his death on the cross, but during his earthly ministry, during his life. Matthew says it's during the 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry that he fulfilled this prophecy of carrying our diseases. He was doing it right there that night when he healed Peter's mother-in-law, when he healed all the people who were brought to him. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of carrying our diseases during his life. It was on the cross that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of dying for our sins. That's our first summary statement. Difference between sickness and sin, between healing and forgiveness. The Bible says that Jesus bore our sins on the cross, not our sicknesses. Statement number two. Healing is a result or a benefit of the atonement. Psalm 103 says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Now, when it comes to healing and the atonement, the question that's usually thrown around, the question that's usually debated, is whether it is proper or not to say that healing is part of the atonement or that healing is in the atonement. Is there healing in the atonement? And people talk about that. And some say yes and some say no. But the answer really depends on what you mean by that. And whether you mean by that, you know, that the healing is in the atonement and that Jesus died specifically, that when he was on the cross, he was taking your sicknesses upon him, that he was dying for sickness in the same way that he was dying for sin. Or are you meaning by that this is one of the results, this is one of the outgrowths of the atonement? Before we can answer the question, is there healing in the atonement, we need to know, what is the atonement? What does it mean? And the atonement has to do with removing God's wrath against sin by Jesus' death on the cross. That's what it is. If you do a word study on atonement, everywhere you see it, that it's talking about removing sin, removing that which separates you from God. Now, the Bible is clear. We are separated from God because of our sins. We are not separated from God because of our illnesses. And so the atonement, by definition, really has to do with sin rather than sickness. And for that reason, I feel very uncomfortable saying that healing is in the atonement. I know you can say it in a way that is correct, but I prefer not to use that phrase. I like what pastor and theologian Dr. Sam Storms says about this, and I think he strikes just the right balance when he writes the following. He writes, "Perhaps it would be more accurate to say that there is healing through the atonement rather than healing in the atonement. Insofar as the atoning death of Jesus is the basis for God healing us. And in this way, we avoid suggesting that because of Jesus' death, we are guaranteed healing in this life." Folks, the reality is that many Christians do get sick and are not healed. And if we are going to treat healing and forgiveness as exactly the same, then that would tell us, that would mean that there are many Christians who are also sinful and not forgiven. We go, whoa, well, we know that's not true, right? And so I think it's better to view healing as a result or a benefit of the atonement rather than as being part of the atonement itself. So we're looking at what does the Bible teach us about the difference between sickness and sin, healing and atonement. Number one, Jesus bore our sins on the cross, not our sicknesses. Number two, healing is a result or benefit of the atonement. And then finally, forgiveness is guaranteed now. Healing is guaranteed later. Let's take a look at that now scripturally. Forgiveness is guaranteed now. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of your sins are forgiven, okay? Past, present, and future. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be forgiven. God does that right now. He is faithful and just, and he forgives you your sins. Forgiveness is guaranteed right now for everyone who trusts in Christ. But the Bible never says that healing is guaranteed now. In fact, it actually says the exact opposite. The Bible tells us that in this life, our bodies are subject to suffering and decay, which is why we are told to wait patiently for the resurrection. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Paul did not expect to be healed and delivered from all bodily weaknesses in this life. In fact, he goes the other way, and he talks about boasting in his weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul tells us how Jesus said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And in response, Paul writes, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. Now, the word that both Jesus and Paul here use for weakness in that verse, you know, Jesus used it when he said, my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul used it when he said, I'll boast about my weaknesses. It's a word that speaks about the weakness or the frailty of our human bodies. And it is the exact same word that Matthew uses when he says that Jesus took up our infirmities and carried our diseases back in Matthew 8:17. Matthew says, Jesus took up our weaknesses. Paul says, I will boast about my weaknesses. It's the same word. And why does Paul boast about his continuing weakness and infirmity so that Christ's power may rest on him? Because he says, Christ's power is going to be made perfect in my weakness. And I want Jesus' power, the same Jesus who took up our infirmities and carried our diseases in Matthew 8:17. Remember, Jesus' healing miracles were signs of the kingdom. The kingdom of God came when Jesus came, but it will not come in its fullness until Jesus returns. And so Jesus' healing miracles in the New Testament, Jesus' healing miracles today, these are previews, right? These are foretastes of the coming kingdom of God, where we read in Revelation 21, verse 4, finally, now, in the future, when Christ returns, then he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Then there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for then the old order of things has passed away. And so when it comes to healing as a result of Christ's atoning death on the cross for sin, let me say that again. When it comes to healing as a result of Christ's atoning death on the cross for sin, the question is not whether we will receive healing, but rather when. Rather, when we will all be healed, guaranteed, when Christ returns. When Christ returns, all of the results of sin will finally be taken away, all sickness, sadness, suffering, and death. But in this life, we are still dealing with the results of sin. Forgiveness is guaranteed now. Healing is guaranteed later. Last point now. When it comes to divine healing today, there are really two mistakes that we need to avoid. Mistake number one, believing that Jesus never heals. And mistake number two, believing that Jesus always heals. First, it is a mistake to think that Jesus never heals. Doesn't make sense to say that Jesus has less power in heaven than he had on earth, right? The Bible is clear that Jesus still heals today in response to our prayers offered in his name, offered in faith. In fact, our whole passage today is about what? Jesus carrying our diseases. Jesus' unlimited power to heal. It would be a pretty poor interpretation of the Bible to take today's passage and turn that around and say that Jesus doesn't heal. So that's mistake number one, to say that Jesus never heals. We have been privileged in this church body to see so many miraculous healings from God in answer to prayer. Every week, I pray for people here in our church and other people I know, I pray in faith, believing for healing. You know what? We should never be surprised when Jesus heals in answer to prayer, because he's already told us he will do it, right? It's a mistake to believe that Jesus never heals. That's the first mistake. But it is also a mistake to believe that Jesus always heals. There are many believers who earnestly seek Jesus for healing in faith, believing God, and yet God chooses not to bring healing for that person either at this time or sometimes even in this life. And when that happens, yes, we are disappointed, but once again, we should not be surprised. Because God has already told us in this world that our present bodies are weak and decaying. That one day, yes, we will get our resurrection bodies and we will never get sick again. We will all get healed eventually, but it's a mistake to believe that Jesus always heals today. So when it comes to divine healing today, two mistakes to avoid. Believing that Jesus never heals, don't do that. Believing that Jesus always heals, don't do that either. They're both mistakes because either one reflects reality or biblical truth. Jesus does heal miraculously in answer to prayer today, but not always. And so we need to trust him in all situations. This is such an important section of Scripture. It teaches us so many important things about God and about Christ. I think most of all, it teaches us that Jesus cares about the whole person, right? Jesus came not only to take away your sin, but also the sorrows that affect you because of your sin. Many times he will heal you right here, right now in this life. Sometimes you will need to wait for the next. But one day we will all be completely set free from sickness, sadness, suffering, and death. Jesus came to free us from sin, and he came to free us from the consequences of sin. So cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. Give your burdens to Jesus. Let him take them upon his own shoulders. And whatever your burden today, whatever your trial, whatever your sickness, whatever your sin, Jesus says to you, here, that's too heavy for you. Let me carry that. And then he does. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you carry our diseases, that you carry our burdens, that you give us strength and help and health and healing. And Lord, even in the midst of a sick and dying and decaying world, Lord, your power rests upon us in amazing ways, either by lifting the sickness entirely or giving us strength through the sickness and through the trial to manifest your power to this world. Lord, help us to believe in you. Help us to have full faith and confidence in you. And help us to be thankful that you are the God who carries our diseases. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.